Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Psalm 46. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 598. So Psalm 46, hear now the Word of God. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to the Alamoth, a psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. So in the reading of God's word, let us once again bow in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this psalm. We thank you for the great comfort that it brings, knowing, Lord, that you are in our midst, that you are, Lord, our fortress. So as we look at the psalm, Lord, may that ring true in our hearts. And may you, Father, inscribe this truth upon them, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. And may you, Lord, bless my mind and my mouth, that I may think and speak clearly this evening. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. I'm sure at some point we've all heard some miraculous tales of God's divine intervention or protection of his people. I remember one that I was told as I was growing up of a missionary who was riding his horse in a very dangerous part of the country in which he was ministering. And he felt the need, as he did oftentimes, to get down and pray along his journey. So he did. And years passed, and he ran into someone. And this gentleman introduced himself. And he said he was a believer. He was a Christian, but wasn't always a believer. And he used to run with a group of bandits that would hide out and attack and rob and sometimes kill people as they were traveling through this dangerous part of the country. And he loves to let them know that he was there that night. And the gentleman said, "Well, what do you mean? I don't remember seeing you at all." He's like, "Well, no, we were hiding." He's like, "Well, why didn't you attack me?" He's like, "Well, we were going to. You actually came very close to death. But we wouldn't touch you with all those men around you, protecting you, guiding you. So we just left you alone." He's like, "Well, what do you mean? I was alone." And so, unbeknownst to this traveler, the Lord had provided him with protection and kept him safe along his journey and allowed this group of bandits to see them and to fear. And I'm sure we've heard other stories like that of the Lord protecting his people, sending his servants to watch over them in times of great distress and great trouble. And to me, that story encapsulates really what the psalm is all about. It's a psalm expressing the great confidence in God. The great confidence in God, regardless of the circumstances or situations. Regardless of what is going on in the world around us. A great confidence that God is in our midst, and that he is our fortress. He watches over and protects us. So as we look at this psalm, the The theme and question we'll be looking at is, with God in your midst, what should we fear? If God is in our midst, what should we fear? What should we be afraid of? And this psalm breaks down into three nice sections, and each encompassing or speaking of a different situation. And when we look at all three together, it really covers, you know, all the bases of areas and things that we could fear in this life. First of all, God is our refuge as the earth trembles, in verses 1 to 3. Secondly, God is our stronghold as the nations rage, verses 4 to 7. And lastly, God is our stronghold as he brings judgment, in verses 8 to 11. So first of all, in the opening verses, again, this psalm is attributed to the sons of Korah, that group of men that were descendants from Korah who rebelled against Moses and was judged by God, and yet the Lord, once again, using this man's descendants to write and to pen his holy word. It's according to the Alamoth, which we have no idea what that means. It's probably a musical instrument or arrangement. It literally means girls. I don't know. It could be women in the choir, maybe that sang. It's or a level of maybe soprano or that range of voices that was to sing this particular tune, and then simply a song. But it begins, as we look at this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is our refuge. He is our strength. We sang a psalm earlier of hiding under the wings of God and his protection during times of trouble. But the language here is not of a God that is far off, but he is very present. He is very close. He is at hand. He is near. He is not a God far off. This psalm speaks of the intimate presence of God and the very closeness of God amongst his people. Not someone who is distant and thinking of other things, but has his eye and his ear to his people, watching over them and protecting them. He is very close, very present. He is not far off. This next two verses then begin to give a situation where we would fear. And this would be really the natural disasters of all natural disasters. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Picture mountains crumbling and sliding off into the sea. That's something maybe you would see in the movie 2012 when it came out last year. You know, California just breaking off and shifting off and sinking into the sea. The waters roaring and foaming, and the mountains trembling at the swelling of the waves and the swelling of the waters. It's really picturing for us a huge, massive type natural disaster that we would all tremble in fear before. And if you really think about natural disasters, as we think about this summer when there were powerful tornadoes that went through the Midwest, or we remember back to, you know, last winter and some powerful snowstorms in the east, or we think about the massive tsunami that hit Japan a few years ago, or the tsunami that hit Indonesia years and years back. You know, all these earthquakes and things that we see happening around the world. Is there any situation which more displays our lack of complete control than a natural disaster? They're completely unplanned. We can't prepare for them. And as, you know, my dear son has become a little bit interested in natural disasters, and we watch a few on YouTube. You know, we see some earthquakes, and we see inside a store, and things are shaking, and things are falling off the shelves, and just the lack of control there. Or we saw this man that, you know, climbed down into the heart of a volcano and was looking at a lava lake. And you saw him there, and it's just this lake of lava that's just moving and undulating. And just the power that you can see displayed in that. I mean, natural disasters clearly display for us just our complete and total lack of control. We have no control over anything in this world. And God reminds us of that clearly as he brings natural disasters upon this earth. And what it's to do is to drive us closer to him. And even in these instances, the psalmist, the sons of Korah, say, even in these instances, we'll not fear. Because God is our refuge. God is our strength. He is the one that is watching over us. He is the one that is protecting us. The very one who is in control of all these things is the one who is watching over and protecting us. So even though these things may happen, and even though we may lose our life in them, yet, the psalmist says, we will not fear. We will not fear, for God is our refuge. He then moves on from natural disasters to another reason that we might fear. And that is when we see the nations in an uproar, the nations raging against God. God is our stronghold as the nations rage. This section of the psalm begins, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. This section has kind of in view the life to come, the world to come, in the new heavens and the new earth. We have there described for us in verse 22, or chapter 22, verses 1 and following. We read, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. We call the city of Zion. And it was pictured for us, back in the Old Testament, also called the city of Jerusalem. And it's picturing for us that great city to come where God truly does dwell and truly does live. And that picture then is that time to come where that river of life, runs through the city, bringing gladness, the healing of the nations from the leaves of the tree of life that surround it. And it all stems from the fact that, as was pictured in the Revelation 22 passage, that God is in the midst of his people. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. This idea of God helping when morning dawns, in Exodus chapter 14, we read the following, Exodus chapter 14, verse 27. We read, this is after, the Red Sea and the people have gone through. And so Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. That phrase also not only brings to mind that deliverance of the great Exodus and the victory that God had in the Red Sea, but also in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, we read these words. This is when King Hezekiah is being attacked. And we read in verse 35, and that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. So this psalm is hearkening back to these victories that the God has won for his people. The great Exodus, and also that victory against the Assyrians that the angel of the Lord brought about. When the break of day came, people saw the deliverance of God. And so too, like in those victories, are pointing to that ultimate victory to come. That's where the assurance lies. God is in our midst. Like he was in the midst of the people of old when he brought those deliverances, so too God is in our midst. And when morning dawns, we will see victory. But also, in here, verse 6, this is in contrast to what was just said of the people of God. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. That word totter is really the same word that is translated as be moved of the people of God in the immediate verse. So we have this contrast between the two groups of people. People of God will not be moved, although the kingdoms rage. But as the kingdoms rage, they will totter, because God utters his voice and the earth melts. 46 verse 6 is basically a summary of Psalm 2. The kingdom's raging, the nations raging against God, and yet God speaks and says that he has put in place his king, his anointed, and he will reign. And then this section ends with a refrain then that will also close the psalm. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This refrain, this first part of it, the Lord of hosts. The word host there could also be translated as armies, could be translated as war, could be translated as warfare. Now, this has in mind that the angel of the Lord that we have pictured for us in Joshua, or even, you know, the angel of the Lord that we just read about in 2 Kings. Now, the angel of the Lord, as we have it in the book of Joshua before they go into Jericho, that truly is the pre-incarnate Christ, as we have evidence there, as I've mentioned that passage before, of it's, you know, almost exactly like the burning bush. You know, the angel of the Lord tells Joshua to take off his sandals because it's holy ground. He receives and accepts the worship of Joshua, which no ordinary angel would. They always say, no, don't worship me, I'm just a servant, just like you. But that angel of the Lord that Joshua faces gladly receives the worship of Joshua. And he says that he is the commander of the armies of God, of the hosts of God. And he is the leader of his armies. The Lord of hosts is the one who is fighting for us. He is with us. And that kind of changes a little bit in the sense of, yes, God is with us, but not only God, but this God who is prepared for battle. He is prepared for warfare. And he is fighting for us as he is in our midst. And so if God is with us and we in him, we need not fear the uprising of nations. Nations will rage, nations will roar, but God is with us. He is our fortress. This third section, you know, as we've looked at, we have no reason, if God is in us and we are in him, we have no need to fear the distress or natural disasters, as in the first section. The second section, we have no reason to fear the uprising or raging of the nations against God. And lastly, this last section, we have no reason to fear his righteous judgment. So we see here in this section, come behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolations on earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Come behold, the psalmist proclaimed to us, and see the great works of God. And we would maybe think that, well, okay, he's going to talk about God's creative power, the majesty of the created world, but no. He says, come behold the works of God, the desolations that God has brought upon the earth. It's referring to the victories that God has won, the victories that he has had over those nations that rage against him from the previous section. Come behold. And what we've learned from that is that rebellion against God leads to desolation. It leads to destruction. No one will rebel against him and survive. Everyone who rebels against him will be destroyed. But this too also has a view in the end. This next verse could only be understood properly as that time to come when Christ returns. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Speaks of the victory that God has, but not ultimately then until the end. When all wickedness and all wars will be done away with, will cease. And this won't be voluntarily. This is done by the Lord. He makes this happen. He causes them to cease. He breaks the bow and the spear. He burns the chariots He destroys those who rage against him. And in response then, as the nations rage, he says, be still, as it has here in the English Standard Version. And really, this idea of be still, you know, in my mind, it's not a strong enough interpretation. It's just a single cease, stop, quiet. And it's not directed to his people. It's not a command to his people, be still and know that I am God, or stop, or cease, or be quiet, and know that I am God. It's to the world. And we can imagine on that great and glorious day a thundering cease, stop, be still and know that I am God. As the nation rages against God, as the world rages against him, God intervenes and he says, cease, stop, and know that I am God. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, the phrase, and you will know that I am the Lord, is used 55 times. And of those 55 times, 44 are in reference to the judgment that God will bring. He brings a judgment, and he says, and then they will know that I am the Lord. This is speaking towards the ultimate judgment of God. That last day, judgment day. Then the world will truly and finally completely know that he is God. That he is the Lord. There will be no one who has any excuse of saying, well, I didn't know. When that day comes, no doubt will be left. He is the Lord. And he tells the nations to cease and to stop and know that I am God. For he will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in all the earth. That double refrain gives us the emphatic nature of what God is saying. That this it will happen. That this is going to happen. Although the world rages and rejects me now, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. It is sure, and it will happen. And that brings us then to the final refrain. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's an interesting play here in this refrain that one of the commentators pointed out. And as we look at both verse 7 and verse 11, there's a sense where it mirrors what Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 4. That verse starts out, if you abide in me, and I in you. As Jesus then teaches on how he is the vine, and we are the branches. We must abide in him, and he in us. The Lord of hosts is with us. He is in our midst. He is in us. We know now from the fuller revelation of God in the New Testament that when we say that, it's not a particular earthly city that is being spoken of here, but it's in the midst of his people. We know truly that those who believe in Jesus Christ and by God's grace have faith in him, that the Holy Spirit truly lives in us. He comes to dwell in us. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. The Lord of hosts is with us. He is in us. But there is also a sense that the God of Jacob is our fortress. So we have at the same time, the Lord of hosts is with us, he is in us, but then also he is our fortress. So he is in us, but we are also in him. He is our fortress. He is our secure refuge. And so, as Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. For you can accomplish nothing apart from me. For the branch cannot accomplish anything apart from the vine. And so, too, the Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our fortress. And if this is true of us, if we abide in Christ and he in us, then in that great and terrible day when God's judgment comes, we have no reason to fear. No reason to be anxious. No reason to tremble. The world and its nations and those who oppose the Anointed One of God will fear. They will tremble. they will melt away. The people of God will stand firm. We will stand firm and not shake and not tremble, because God is our fortress and He is in our midst. So if God is in us and we in Him, we need not fear His righteous judgment. So this psalm really covers, in my mind, every aspect in three broad categories of what would cause us fear. In each situation, it's things that are beyond our control and ability to understand in many cases. There is natural disasters, which God alone controls. There is the uprising of nations, which we would just be swept away along in a nation's path. We can't control that. And then there's ultimately God's judgment, which we have no control over. But God has control over all these things. And He is the one who decrees what natural disasters happen. He is the one who decrees what nation is to rise in power, what nation is to fall in power. And ultimately, He is the one who will come again and make all things new, bringing an end to all wars, all disease, all pain, all wickedness, all evil. And if we abide in Him and He in us, if God, the Lord of hosts, is with us, and if we abide in the God of Jacob as our fortress, then we have no reason to fear. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, and we thank You for this encouraging psalm, that regardless of these sweeping categories and situations that could cause great terror and fear, of natural disasters, nations raging, or in Your final judgment, we pray, Lord, that the truth that if You, Lord, are in our midst, and if we are, Lord, in You as our fortress, if You abide in us and we in You, then, Lord, we have no reason to fear, because, the Lord, of the grace that You have shown us. And, Lord, we thank You for the fact that You are in our midst. And we praise You, Lord, that You are our fortress. And we pray that this truth will be with us in every situation. We may not face natural disasters or the uprising of nations, but we all stand, Lord, before You in judgment. And yet, Lord, You tell us that Your people will stand firm. And we have no reason to fear, as not our own righteousness covers us, but, Lord, only the righteousness of the Anointed One of God, Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.